How has COVID impacted you spiritually? We hear a lot about the physical, how that people are very sick, how that some of them die, how all of the limits that come because of the safety measures that we put out there. I hear that there's a lot of concern for mental health, and that certainly spills over into the realm that I'm talking about spiritually. Jeff invited me to come up this past Tuesday and sit down with him. Both of us feel like there's a great danger, maybe a reality, that people are drying up spiritually. You see, one of the things that's hurt us so much is that we can't be together. He mentioned some people just a moment ago who cannot be here, should not be out any more than is absolutely necessary. And I appreciate so much what Eric Brunson and Jeff and Luke and any others involved in it have done to get us online, our worship services primarily, but also the other things like Words with Friends for Wednesday night, the prayer session on Saturday morning, My Moments with Jim, which comes out on Tuesdays, Leah's messages to the kids and Luke's to the teenagers. All of that's beneficial, but it's not the same. And it isn't just the worship assembly, it's being together. And beyond the assembly or the church building time, there's a freedom in this country that we're missing because COVID has somewhat shut us down. And that dries us up. And our concern is that it has dried up some people spiritually. Most of you know that I do a little bit of work at a funeral home. I sat down with the manager of the funeral home about three weeks ago, and I asked, Eric, why is it that we haven't had the summer drop-off? More people die in winter than in summer. Why is it that our numbers didn't drop as much as usual? He said, COVID. Some of the funerals are directly COVID deaths, but many more are people who were despondent. Maybe it's subconscious, but they just gave up. And I can imagine the people in nursing homes who can't even see their loved ones, or some other people who are hurt financially and maybe just see no end to all of this, and eventually they just begin to feel like, what's the point? If you're dry spiritually, I have a message of hope for you. The Lord can give you life. Vibrancy. And I know that because of what he's done in the past. May I call you back to the times when Babylon came in and conquered Israel? I say the times because actually they came three times. The first one is 606. God moved his hand of protection back, and Babylon came in, conquered the nation, carried off leading people and their riches. Then in 597, they came back because they had heard rumors of a rebellion. And that time they carried off Ezekiel. Remember that name. They came back in 586. That's the famous time. This time they broke down the walls of the city, burned the city, and destroyed the temple. Carried off all of the leading people that time and all of the riches. And they carried them off to Babylon. Psalm 137 finds the psalmist telling about what they felt. We sat down by the waters of Babylon, and we wept. We hung our harps on the willow trees. Now, the people of that land, and maybe everywhere, knew how the Israelites could sing. Sing us some of the songs of your land. They responded, how can we sing in this foreign land? It was after 586 destruction that God sent the prophet Ezekiel with a message of hope. The whole book of Ezekiel is about hope. It's ultimately about the Lord fulfilling his purpose for Israel and bringing the Christ into the world. But it gets very specific in some passages, like Ezekiel chapter 37. There the scripture says that the Lord, in the Spirit, carried Ezekiel out to a valley that was full of dead bones. And the scripture says they were very dry. Throughout the book, God calls Ezekiel, son of man. Son of man, can these bones live again? Ezekiel knew the power of the Lord, and he responded, oh Lord, you know. Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Tell them to come together. and I'll put sinew on them and skin. And so Ezekiel said, I prophesied, and there was a rattling of the bones as they came together. Of course, that's where you get that old spiritual of the hip bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone. They came together, sinew, skin. Then you had a valley full of dead bodies. Son of man, can these bodies live again? Oh Lord, you know. Prophesy again, son of man. Call to the four winds. Tell them to blow their breath into them, and I'll put life in them. And soon that wind came, and all of those bodies stood up alive. Now, God didn't leave the interpretation of that incident to all of us who just happened to read. The latter part of the chapter is very important. He said, now I want you to take two sticks, son of man, and join those sticks together. One of those will represent my people of the southern kingdom of Judah, and the other the northern kingdom of Israel. And I will make my two people one again. And I'll bring them back into their own land where they will dwell in peace. And David will rule over them as their king. Not actual David, but rather a descendant of David, as it was promised to David that one of his descendants would be on the throne forever. And ultimately that becomes Jesus. It's ultimately a messianic prophecy. Do you see the picture? Picture them and see a parallel today. Dead bones, very dry. Could they live again? Did it have meaning, purpose? Living in a land, your own land, in peace with the Lord ruling. If you're dry today, God can make you alive. If you're struggling, turn back to the Lord. I have some very practical suggestions for you, because I don't believe that we just sit back and wait for the Lord to zap us one day. I'm dry, do something. We have a part in this. And what I'm about to suggest to you is not new. Every one of you knows everything that I'll say. I think we need to be reminded. First of all, if you want to be alive, vibrant, you've got to want to. I really enjoy when Chet and I get to go out and speak somewhere. Some of those are pro-life things, others to churches. Sometimes it's to a business. Maybe there are a few people, maybe there are a whole host of people, executives. How can I be happy in the workplace? We tell some stories that get them laughing. We make some poignant points. I think they are. And then down at the end, our characteristic way of closing out that message is for me to turn to Chet and say, how do you do it? How do you wake up bright and positive every day? You're a man without arms. We've just talked about the limits of that. You have the responsibilities of running a $2 million company. That was before COVID. How do you do it? At that point, I go sit in the audience. He gets up out of his chair and walks to the front. And he says, I believe that everyone here wakes up every day with a choice. You can get up on the wrong side of the bed if you want to, but you don't have to. You can get on the other side. You can get on the right side of the bed. You can wake up bright and happy. He goes on to say, it's sometimes a difficult choice, but it is a choice. Want to, choose to. May I remind you of the power of music? I remember several years ago when an elder in the church where I was preaching came to me to say, Jim, something's happened to me, and I don't know what. I used to be a pretty positive guy. Recently, I can only see problems. I'm half angry all the time. What do? I said, I found that music really does help me, particularly Christian music. He said, that's it. That's what I've forgotten. He said, in my pickup truck, I've got a box full of cassette tapes. That tells you how far back this was, doesn't it? And he said, I used to pop one of those in the player as soon as I got in the truck and sing with it. He said, that's it. And he walked away. I thought, that's the briefest conversation of help I've ever had with someone. Remember the power of music. It doesn't have to be Christian music. Music can lift. Christian music, even more, lifts. Third, remember to pray candidly. Isn't there a difference between saying prayers and praying? I remember several years ago at Airline Drive in Bossier City when I was preaching there, a woman came to the church building to talk to me. She was angry with God. For a while, she sat and just vented. After she had gone on for 10 or 15 minutes, I asked, "Have you told the Lord how you feel?" She said, "Oh, I couldn't say to God the things I've said to you here." I said, "I think He already knows." Talk to Him. If you're dry, tell Him. He already knows. Tell Him. And ask for help. Be careful. He answers prayers. I suggest to you that it's important to watch what you read. Reading positive things is so very beneficial. Every day, I like to start my day with reading a devotional by Phil Ware. It's available online. You can have Heartline, isn't it? Phil Ware's devotional. I write one myself 5 days a week. You have to be my friend on Facebook to get it. There are several of those out there. Maybe they are positive thoughts, or maybe it's just something that someone tells that has a positive spin to it. And when we're talking about reading positive things, I point you back to the Word. Nothing is as valuable as the Word. The Lord gave us a message of love. And when we get it off the page and into our hearts, it's going to make a difference in our thinking, in the way we feel then. I want to pass on to you something from David Johnson. Last year, when he was speaking to the empty nesters, he said, "I've got a suggestion for you on reading the Scriptures. Take a passage and read the same passage every day for a week." I tried it. And that passage just seemed to keep opening up different layers, becoming more and more meaningful. Put the Word in your heart. Never forget to read the book. Now that leads us to number 5. There are some things you need to stay away from. Quit reading. Quit listening to. I remember a deacon who came to me at one time at another church. He said, "I want to tell you my story. I was getting to the point that I was angry all the time. It was affecting my life. It was affecting my home. Eventually went to a counselor because of it." The counselor said, "Tell me your day. Describe how you start your day and go through it." He said, "I get up, get dressed, eat breakfast, drive to work. Usually takes 30 minutes. The counselor said, "What do you listen to as you're driving?" "Oh, I listen to..." And he named a certain conservative talk show host who was always stirring people up about some cause. And immediately the counselor said, "Quit listening to him." You see, every one of those talk shows, including sports, is designed to rile you up, get you to call in. There's some cause you need to be on fire about. It tears you down. It gives you that angst inside. Be careful with it. I'd go on beyond that to talk about television. What are you watching? Movies, what are you watching? It seems to me that a great many of them these days are the ones that say, "You got to get out there and kill them all. Right every wrong. Straighten everybody out." And once again, it's that angry approach. When you have a steady diet of that, it's got to have an impact on the way you think. It's got to impact your spirituality. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you read. I would suggest to you that it's very important to help other people. Think about those people that, well, Jeff mentioned two or three of them that need to stay as close as they can stay. They can't be out. I was talking with someone between services about her father who can't get out of the nursing home and she can't go see him. Oh, how lonely. Can you do something? A telephone call? A card? A text? And I found that when I helped others, that help ends up coming back and helping me. Maybe more than it helped them. Number 7 may be one of the most important, and it's the last. count your blessings. You say, now? In this period of time? Yes. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. First, in all circumstances. Paul, did you say all circumstances? In all circumstances, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In your bleakest time, no matter how hard COVID or any other problem has hit you, you have Jesus, His death, God's grace and love. Give thanks in all circumstances. I think that whole section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 almost sums up what I've been saying today. Adds beyond that. I love to hear Jeff Brooks read scripture. He's so interpretive, and I've invited him by way of transition from me to what he's going to add to read to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.